You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. Third chapter. And we want to read in your hearing, beginning at the 14th verse. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly all above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, through all ages, world without end. Amen. And for a few moments, I want us to ponder this thought. When I think about his goodness, when I think about his goodness. Charles Simon was a leader of the Holy Trinity Church in Cambridge, England. He was a leader for over 54 years. He was known, beloved professor and preacher. He had a profound effect on the students of the university. In fact, students were invited to his home for tea. That's what they do in England. They drink tea. And they were encouraged to question him about spiritual truths. Once he was asked, "How do you maintain a close walk with God?" And this was his response. He said, "By constantly meditating on the goodness of God and on our great deliverance from the punishment of sin. Keeping both of these in mind, we shall find ourselves advancing on our course. We shall feel the presence of God. We shall experience his love. We shall live in the enjoyment of his favor and in the hope of his grace. Meditation is the grand means of our growth and grace." when we meditate, when we think about the goodness of God, when we sit down somewhere quiet and turn off the TV and turn off the phone, when we ponder and rehearse in our minds where God has brought us from. I don't know about you, but I know that God has brought me from a mighty, mighty long way. When we ponder and think about what God has done in our lives and how yet we are so undeserving of his unmerited favor. I don't know about you, but thinking about his goodness does something on the inside. Yeah, it rings joy bells when I realize that who I am, when I look in the mirror of the reflection of God's word, I realize that I'm a wretch undone, that I'm no good, but yet and still God decided to use me. And I believe I have at least one or two witnesses here that can attest that God can use you. It's a good thing to meditate, to think about the goodness of God. The fact of the matter is that when he illuminates his word so that we may have understanding, the fact that he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I am his own. Indeed, that is something right there to shout about. The fact of the matter is, we know that it was him who woke us up this morning. He started us on our way. He provided some provisions for us that we can give him glory and praise. So the question that we have to ponder, how do we recognize the goodness of God? How do we contemplate the goodness that God so richly shares with all of us? Where should our minds go when we consider and think about his goodness? Well, the Apostle Paul is going to share with you and I three specific things, three concepts that will help guide you and I into a greater appreciation of his goodness, no matter the season in life that we may find ourselves. It's always appropriate to think about his goodness. The first thing that we need to do in order to appreciate, meditate on the goodness of God, we must first understand the revelation of God in our lives. We're going to be walking through this third chapter because God reveals himself, his plan, and his purpose in our lives. Look, if you will, at Ephesians 3 and 1. Paul says, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." We know that at the time that Paul was penning these words, that Paul was indeed a prisoner. He was held captive. He could not go about his way. He was awaiting his time before Nero. And it's interesting, although Paul is locked down, although he is shackled, although he doesn't have freedom, he doesn't consider his captors to hold him in prison. But he refers to Jesus Christ as the one whom he is a prisoner of. And you know, the reason why is because when you identify yourself as a prisoner to Christ, that means that you're not held in captivity against your freedom, but it's where you are able to truly express your freedom. You know, there is freedom in Christ. We do have more and more freedom in Christ than we do in anything else. But he continues in verse 2, and he says, if ye have heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which is given to me to you word. And in verse 3, he continues on and says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Well, let's go ahead and unpack this. First, we have to deal with the dispensation of grace. You see, the word dispensation in the text means stewardship. In fact, according to Scofield, a dispensation is a period of time during which man is tested in respect to his obedience to some specific revelation of the will of God. Specifically in Scripture, when you study God's word, there are seven different dispensations. And Paul goes on to identify in our text in terms of that ye have heard of the dispensation of grace. Well, I need to tell us that we, church, are under the dispensation of grace, otherwise known as the church age. And here's what's unique. You see, whenever God gives a dispensation, there is a responsibility that comes with the stewardship. I wish I had a witness here. See, Paul was a steward. He was a manager. God entrusted Paul with the mysteries of Christ. It was his responsibility to make it known, to make known what was otherwise unknown. And not only was he to make it known, but he was also able to make it known to a specific group of people, the Gentiles. You see, here's one thing that we need to gather as the church. We too have this responsibility. We too have the responsibility to share with those who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to bring them into the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus. You need to get saved to sit. You need to get saved. You're not saved just to be settled, but you're saved so that you could go share the good news with somebody else. Yeah, that's the mandate that you and I have. How do we know we have this mandate? Well, it's recorded in the gospel according to Matthew. Chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Since God has revealed himself, and he revealed himself through the finished works of his Son, Jesus Christ, he reveals himself through his word. He reveals himself through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have a responsibility. We are stewards. Yeah, and any time that God has revealed anything to you, trust me when I tell you, you have a responsibility to carry it out. It's not for you to keep it to yourself. And it's too many of us too comfortable with just keeping things to ourselves. Don't you know that we are in the midst of a dying world and people need Jesus? God has given us a mandate. We are stewards of his salvation. We ought to share it with somebody. You see, salvation is personal, but it comes with a responsibility and expectation that we share the good news of Jesus Christ. That's why Peter reminds us, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as every man have received the gift. And the gift that Peter is identifying is the gift of salvation. Even so, minister or be a servant, the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Yeah, Paul continues on and says, In that third verse of chapter 3 of Ephesians, how that by revelation that God had made known unto him the mystery. And the word revelation here speaks to a discourse of truth, instruction concerning divine things before unknown, especially those relating to the Christian salvation. So what did God make known to Paul? What is it that he revealed to him? Well, if you go down to verse 6 of chapter 3, you will see that where Paul says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. It was Paul, this is the very thing that kept Paul in the trouble with Jews. You see, we have to understand that the Jews had a problem with the notion of Gentiles being in the same family of God that they were. We have to understand that they were very proud and prideful in the fact that they thought that God was just for them and them alone. Can I tell us something that the church acts the same way? Yeah, the church acts the same way sometimes, that we have the nerve and audacity to think that God is just for us. That's why you get people that get an attitude when somebody is sitting in their seat. It's a bad sense of entitlement. There's nothing in here that belongs to nobody. And yet and still, God gives us the responsibility to go and tell this world about Jesus Christ. And you can't tell the world about Jesus Christ if you just stuck in here. When we think about his goodness, not only should we appreciate the revelation of God in our lives, and that revelation comes with a responsibility. But secondly, there is a reflection of purpose. There's a reflection of purpose. Look at verse 7. Paul says, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. You see, Paul's reflection on God's goodness brought two realities. One, it brought the reality of who he really is. And then two, it brought the reality of what his purpose is in this life. Paul says that I was made a minister. Now, the word minister here doesn't mean reverend, but it actually means servant. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor Twyman. One of the very first conversations I ever had with our pastor, he said to me, he said, anytime that you hear somebody call you reverend, you need to think servant. Do I have a witness in here? Because it's not about the title. It's not about who we think we are, but it is about what we're supposed to do. All of us are servants. You remember, was it last year sometime that the pastor was like, poof, all of y'all are ministers? This is what he was speaking to, that we are all servants of one another. And you don't need a title to serve. You just need a heart and desire to serve. Be a servant. Be a servant. Paul details the source of his calling, and it's by the grace of God. And the strength of his calling is the effectual working of God's power in his life. You see, the effectual working, when it's translated into Greek, it speaks to the energia, which typically refers to God's power, which transitions the believer from point to point within God's plan. You see, it's God's power. It's not by Paul's power, but it's by God's power. And anytime that any of us is able to do anything that glorifies God, listen, you better get on your knees and pray, because it's not about you, it's about him. Let me tell you about Paul. Paul outlined his own resume. And I love how he did this, because he goes on in verse 8 and says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, in this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know, Paul was the man. You realize that, right? And not only was he the man before he met Christ, but he's the man after he meets Christ. But check out his resume. If you go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 5, he declares that he was circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of all Hebrews. And as touching the law, he was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, he was persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, he declared himself to be blameless. But he goes on in verse 7 and says, but what things are gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. In other words, everything, all the accomplishments, all the accolades that I've done don't mean nothing. In fact, they've been reduced to dung. You don't know what that means, look it up. Amen. But when I think about his goodness, you know, we need to take time to recall and reflect on what God has done for us. We need to take time and sit down somewhere and think about what he has done in our lives. When I think of his goodness and all that he has done for me, and that's personal, right? I can't tell you what he did for you, but I can tell you what he did for me. And here's what I found out. I'm not even worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I don't deserve it. Because you know why? God thought enough of me. And he thought enough of you to use us in his ministry. But not only was Paul reflecting on who he is, but he also stated his purpose. and to make all men, that is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. You know, Paul's purpose in life, you know what it is? It's right there in that verse. It says to make all men see what is the fellowship of the ministry, the mystery. And this is the purpose of Paul's ministry, to make unknown, make what is unknown, to make it known. The thing that was hidden to reveal. The thing that people didn't know, give them knowledge so they can know. And again, you and I should have that same purpose. Yeah. I remember a long time ago, and it was a church that, you know, was upset. They had a church meeting and they were mad because the church was growing. Did you hear what I said? They were mad because the church was growing, because they didn't want so many people to join because they felt like they were going to lose their spot. Well, let me tell you something, sweetheart, that if you die today, guess what's going to happen? We're going to give you a chicken dinner, and God's program is still going to move forward. Not only should we appreciate the revelation of God, take time to reflect on his goodness. But here's what it is. It should cause us to respond with prayer and praise. Yes, sir. Look at verse 14. Paul says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, this is the second time, Pastor, that Paul mentions this type of phrase. In verse 1, he says, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ." And now he comes here in the 14th verse and says, "For this cause, I bow my knees." You know, there is a correlation to being held captive by Christ and worshiping Christ. Yeah, there is a correlation. But what Paul is conveying to you and I is basically what is defined as this: for the pleasure of, the favor which furnishes the reason to take action. When Paul says for this cause, that's lining up that he's about to take an action. And so what action did Paul take? Well, it's right here in the text. He says, "I bow my knees," which is the position of his prayer, right? It's the posture of his prayer. You know, we know that in this day and time, Jews were very prideful. They prayed standing up. But whenever you saw a Jewish person, especially a Pharisee, on their knees, trust me, it was something that had a sense of urgency. But Paul relinquished his title. He didn't care about none of that. He worshiped God, and he knew that if you're going to go before God's presence, you got to humble yourself. Yeah, anytime that you engage in prayer, there ought to be some humility in the atmosphere. There ought to be, you ought to humble yourself. Listen, my knees are bad. But you know what? It won't stop me from dropping to my knees because I realize where my help comes from. Paul says, "I bow my knees." He's demonstrating the posture of one who is kneeling down and humbling himself before Almighty God. But then there's the petition of Paul's prayer. And it's recorded through verses 16 through 19, where he says that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, See, a lot of times we spend too much time focusing on the outer man. We dress up. We comb up. We weave up. We do everything that we can on the outside man. But how much investment do we make on the inside man, on the inner man? And the way that you can nourish and strengthen the inner man is with the Word of God. It's all right to look good. Lord knows I know. However, it ain't about how you look, it's about how you live. I don't want that to get past you. Paul goes on to say that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. We understand that it is by faith that we accept the finished works of Jesus Christ. It is by faith that we move from day to day. It is by faith that if God uses us to do anything, we should be saturated with faith. Fear and faith cannot reside in the same vessel. But here it is. We see that Paul is moving from his theology onto his doxology. He's moving on from his theology, what he knows about God, what he understands about God, what he has experienced from God, right? And now we see a transition as we move into the 20th verse, that he's now moving into his doxology. You understand that a doxology is the high note of his praise. A doxology is where you can shout at. A doxology is where you give the highest praise that you possibly can, that you use words that try to culminate as much as you can of who God is. And not only who God is, but who he is to you. Yeah. So here it is. In verse 20, he says, now, which is really a word of transition. He has prayed this prayer. He has petitioned. He has postured himself. He has positioned himself. But now he's transitioning. Now unto him that is able. Don't you know that God is able? No matter what your situation is, no matter what circumstance you face, God is able. If you don't believe that he's able, that might be the problem to why your prayers don't get answered. He's able, meaning that he has the power to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask in our request, to think or think, which means to perceive with the mind to understand, according, which speaks to the righteousness that's proceeding from faith, to the power that worketh within us. There's power. Don't you know that you have power? Don't you know that you have Holy Ghost power inside of you? That anything that you could come in your life, that you and God can handle it? That there's nothing that occurs in your life that will overtake you? Because if God be for you, who can be against you? When I think about his goodness, when I think about the goodness in Jesus and what he has done for me, my soul cries, hallelujah. Thank you, God, for saving me. Not that I've been so perfect. Not that I've been so good. Not that I'm even worthy. But God thought enough of me, and he thought enough of you to include you in his plan. But here's how we know that we included in this plan. Through 40 and two generations, Jesus came down. He healed the sick. He provided sight for the blind. He raised the dead. Jesus went from judgment hall to judgment hall. Jesus, they couldn't find nothing wrong with him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They hit him. They blindfolded and tell him, who hit you? Jesus was marred beyond recognition. Jesus didn't even look like himself. Jesus hung upon an old rugged cross. Jesus died on that cross. Jesus was buried in another man's tomb. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. He declared that all the power in heaven and earth is in my hand. When I think about his goodness and all that he's done for me, when I think about his goodness and how he set me free,
we hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.